you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
Today on the LA Report, we'll bring you the latest on an audit plan for LA's Homeless Services Authority. Diana Nyad and her coach Bonnie Stoll made history when Nyad swam from Cuba to Florida at the age of 64. Find out how their lessons in perseverance apply to fighting ocean pollution.
Bonnie can tell you, I'm just not big on other people dictating my limitations.
Then why scientists studying those colorful and loud Southern California parrots are looking for the public's help. It's Saturday, March 23rd. I'm Julia Paskin, and that's coming up on the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. But first, here's the latest news. The California Department of Water Resources has announced that the allocations for water agencies has doubled. The state agency says local water managers south of the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta can expect 30% of their requested water supply. That is twice as much as was expected just last month. In January, the snowpack was a little over half the normal average. And as of just yesterday, the snowpack was 98% of normal levels. With this year's primary election results, the state legislature will be the closest ever to reaching complete gender parity. And if enough women win runoff elections in November, the state Senate could be majority women for the first time ever. Susanna Delano of the group Close the Gap says it's a shift that has been building for years.
I don't think it's a coincidence that last cycle in 22, when you saw so many women come in, that was also the first year that our state legislature became majority-minority in terms of people of color, LGBTQ+, and women.
The Assembly is also inching towards the same benchmark, with 40% of its seats held by women. However, next year, California will be without a woman U.S. senator for the first time since 1992. A wide-ranging court-monitored audit is headed for all of LA's homeless services. A federal judge signed off on the scope of the audit Friday. LAist reporter McKenna Sievertson was at the downtown federal courtroom for the hearing.
The audit will analyze each and every homelessness assistance program and initiative funded or conducted by the city, including the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, Mayor Karen Bass's Inside Safe Motel program, shelter bed retention rates, permanent housing placements, and accountability for service providers. This is the result of an ongoing, years-long lawsuit filed by the LA Alliance for Human Rights against the city for its lack of progress on homelessness.
Both sides are due back in court the first week of April. And billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott donated $640 million to hundreds of nonprofits this week, including here in Southern California. LAist reporter Ellie Yu has more.
The Amazon co-founder set out an open call last year for nonprofits to apply for an award of $1 million. Families Forward, an early childhood center in Pasadena, decided to put their hat in the ring. A couple of weeks ago, Elva Sandoval, the group's executive director, was frantically checking emails each morning to find out who won.
At this point, I don't even recall the exact date, but that morning when I looked at the email and I read it, I just started to cry.
The group instead got $2 million, as did hundreds of others. Sandoval said her organization is looking to use that money to expand services to families, including more mental health support. For LAist 89.3, I'm Ellie Yu.
Gray whales have been dying at alarming rates in recent years, but NOAA says that the worst of that is over. The agency declared an unusual mortality event in the gray whale population in 2018, largely because the whale's ecosystem changed and they had less access to prey. Here is Michael Milstein with the NOAA Fisheries.
The number of strandings have dropped back down to a more normal level. The whales in general, the animals that we're seeing, are looking healthier.
Gray whales are still washing ashore, though, including one in Malibu last weekend. But there are signs the population is recovering fast. Milstein says the latest count puts the population at over 19,000 whales. That's a 33% increase from last year. And those of us who watch Big Bear's Eagle Cam hoping for baby eaglets there, well, there are also other eaglets in the Southland to coo over. LAist reporter Yusra Farazan has more.
Two eaglets were born to a tagged bald eagle at a private residence in Orange County. Eagle A85 was first tagged on Santa Rosa Island. Wildlife biologist Peter Sharp says it isn't uncommon for bald eagles to fly long distances.
We've had them travel as far as central British Columbia, Montana, Alberta, but most of them come back to the general area to start breeding.
Three eaglets were also born this week on Catalina Island, and there could be more babies soon. Seven of the eight eagle couples on the island are currently keeping eggs warm. For LA's 89.3, I'm Yusra Farazan.
We have information about the Catalina Island Eagle Cam at LAist.com. And the Ferris wheel at the Santa Monica Pier is going dark for an hour tonight. It's part of the World Wildlife Fund's event Earth Hour, where supporters switch off their lights for an hour. And even though the Ferris wheel on the Santa Monica Pier is solar powered, they are still joining in from 8:30 to 9:30 tonight. More after this break.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting the world premiere of Ghost Waltz by Oliver Mayer, a bold original recovery of Juventino Rosas, one of Mexico's most significant composers. Follow Rosas from his father's early death to his friendship with ragtime genius Scott Joplin, now on stage through June 2nd. Tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Back now to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Diana Nyad and Bonnie Stoll have spent a lot of time in the ocean, as depicted in the film Nyad, where both Annette Bening and Jodie Foster were nominated for Oscars for portraying Nyad and Stoll, respectively. In 2013, Nyad, coached by best friend Stoll, was the first person to swim from Cuba to Florida at the age of 64. Tomorrow, the two are leading a 10K in Santa Monica to raise awareness about plastic pollution for an ocean walk, and they both join me now for more. Diana Nyad and Bonnie Stoll, welcome.
Julia, thanks for having us.
Diana, let's start with you. Tell us about what's going on Sunday for the Ocean Walk.
Well, you know, Bonnie and I, as you mentioned, swam across a lot of the blue planet. And when we were out there, we were in the midst of thinking about our lives and what we can do, how we can make the most of being human on this planet during our lives. And when we finished, we thought we want to take people on that same kind of journey. And we decided to start a walking initiative called Everwalk. It's a walk in collaboration with the Plastic Pollution Coalition. We are devastated by what's happening by plastics, a use of single-use plastics, especially all over the world, but especially our beautiful, once pristine oceans. So this walk is a six-miler. It's not long, but we'll have some talking. Bonnie and I are going to have the movie poster up so people can take selfies, and it's just going to be a fun morning.
And Bonnie, you both having spent so much time in open water, have you seen any of the impact of plastic in the ocean for yourself?
Well, I don't think you have to be way out in the ocean to see the result of the plastic. All you have to do is walk on the beach and all you see are bottle caps from single-use plastic bottles. It's awful and devastating because not only is it ruining life in the ocean and the ocean floor, we have plastics in our body coming from all of this single-use plastic. It's just too much. The earth can't live with all the plastic that's polluting the country or the world.
Diana,
I want to ask you about kind of the parallel of tasks that feel insurmountable, right? So fighting pollution and climate change feels like at best an uphill battle or even impossible sometimes. But at the same time, the two of you are very familiar with doing what is supposed to be impossible. So I'm just wondering if there's any kind of personal lessons or philosophies that you've learned in your athletic careers and what you've accomplished together that apply here to trying to help preserve the environment.
Well, you know, I think there are parallels. Anytime something is big that seems monstrous, it seems it's too late. We can't do anything about it. But Margaret Mead, the great sociologist, said years ago, you just live your individual life with the ethics and the morals and the commitment that you believe is right for your family, for your community, and for the planet. And chances are, billions of people, millions at least, are going to come in, live that way too. And now we have change. And for me personally, Bonnie can tell you that I'm just not big on other people dictating my limitations. So if someone says, yeah, you're 64 years old, you can't swim that. You didn't even make that when you were 28. Well, that's their opinion. It's up to me to look inside and decide what I'm capable of and decide if I'm okay with failure. You know, it takes courage to fail. And Bonnie and I were out there, it's five times across that epic ocean. We believed we were going to get to the other side when the whole world said it'll never be done by anybody. And look what happened. We made it to the other side.
That is Diana Nyad and Bonnie Stoll. They are leading tomorrow's Nyad Ocean Walk to reduce plastic pollution. It's starting at 8 a.m. in Santa Monica. We're going to have more information at las.com. Diana and Bonnie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Appreciate you.
I really appreciate the opportunity. You take care.
You may have seen them. You may have even more likely heard them, especially in the San Gabriel Valley. Flocks of colorful and boisterous wild parrots. Well, they've been here since the 1950s, and their numbers have exploded in the past decade. LAist science reporter Jacob Margolis says scientists from Occidental College are studying these parrots, and they need your help to do it.
On a noisy street corner in Pasadena, right before dusk, I met up with three academic birders from Occidental, Brenda Ramirez, Russell Campbell, and John McCormick, all standing there with their binoculars, waiting for parrots.
How do you know they're going to show up here?
Well, the truth is we don't. We're just going to see what happens.
And it wasn't long before, and then all of a sudden, out of the sky, dozens of them landing in a sycamore tree near us. Red, yellow, and lilac-crowned parrots.
So what are they talking about right now? Are they negotiating different branch placements and like flying around?
I think sometimes there is some of that. A lot of times vocalizations are almost like contact calls. Making all this noise signals to every other parrot flying by. Oh, I hear another parrot over there. I'm gonna go over there. And then strengthen numbers. So you're just gathering everyone to your area.
It's believed that the pet trade brought some of the first parrots here around the 1950s, and they've exploded in numbers over the past decade. But what's really fascinating is that the habitats that they've adapted to here in Southern California are much colder and urban than what they're familiar with back in Mexico, meaning they found a niche to thrive in. That's according to Brenda Ramirez.
We had this abundance of exotic trees that they've been able to take advantage of that none of the native species have been using. And so it was that perfect opening for them to come in and be able to thrive here.
Apparently, they thrive on loquats and all sorts of other subtropical trees that we've brought in and kept alive with extra water. They don't have any known predators, diseases, or other things that may limit them like they do in Mexico. And what's really cool is that the parrots here appear to be starting to shift away from the ones in Mexico, at least in certain ways, says John McCormick.
We're just kind of starting to understand more about that through DNA studies. There's definitely evidence for hybridization. You can see it just in the appearance of some parrots. They look kind of halfway in between red-crowned and lilac-crowned.
Do you think we could see a completely new Los Angeles parrot pop up at some point?
Oh, I'd say give it like 1,000 years and then maybe we're talking. Yeah.
Well, especially if they all start to hybridize and, you know, you sort of get something. In evolution, we call that a hybrid swarm. So basically the reproductive isolating mechanisms, whatever keeps them apart, would break down. And you would eventually have some parrot that was kind of like the amalgam between all the species. That doesn't seem to be happening in the city right now. But again, you never know. Evolution's a journey, and you don't know where it's going to end up.
Seeing these parrots thrive in a wildly different environment than their native one is an indication that an animal's range isn't always predictive of where they'll do well. an encouraging thought, especially when you think about what's happening around the world with climate change. Suddenly, the parrots freaked out and flew away in a giant group, all at once, into the dark.
There's just some level of sort of antsiness, maybe, of like, they're ready to go to bed and go to their roost, and then they just take off and then the rest of them follow. So
I think they know Russell's watching them.
If you want to help scientists like Russell, Brenda, and John learn more about things like what the parrots love to eat, where they roost, and how they're evolving, you can help them by taking pictures of the parrots and uploading them to the free iNaturalist app. They'll then use that data over time in studies and for their Los Angeles Parrot Project. For a link to the app and some really good parrot viewing spots, check out my article on LAist.com. For LAist 89.3, I'm Jacob Margolis.
Thanks for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. The Weekend LA Report is hosted by me, Julia Paskin, and produced by Monica Bushman and Kevin Tidmarsh. Our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. The podcast is edited by Fiona Ng. Catherine Mailhouse is the director of content development, and our vice president of podcasts is Shana Naomi Crockmall. Join us back here tomorrow. You can read more at LAist.com and listen live on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.